I denne fjerde del af John Scales allerede selvbiografiske fortælling hører vi om, hvordan han efterhånden udvikler en forståelse af miljø- og klimaudfordringernes betydning som en trussel mod menneskehedens overlevelse på linje med kernevåbnene, og men først på længere sigt i modsætning til kernevåbnets her og nu trussel.
I attended almost all of the yearly Pugwash conferences from 1989 until I became too ill to travel. One of them I remember especially was in China, where I wrote the report from a working group on eliminating poverty and attaining sustainability. And my report concluded that women, the role of women was very important. And that was a big hit. Everyone liked that report. And the following year, there was a conference in Berlin, which was especially interesting because Professor Hans-Peter Dürr, the director of the Max Planck Institute for Physics, who argued very strongly that in order to be sustainable, a process has to be cyclic. There cannot be sources, because in the long run they will be exhausted, nor can there be sinks, because in the long run they will be filled. So those stick in my mind very much, the Povosid in Podansk. Jeg blev ved at komme til alle Pugwash kongresser fra 1989, indtil jeg blev alt for syg til at rejse. Og nogen af dem var levende i min hukommelse. For eksempel, der var en kongress i 1991 i Beijing, hvor jeg var rapporteur for arbejdsgruppen om afskaffende fattigdom og velvarenhed.
Bæredygtighed.
Og i min rapport, og jeg understregede, at der var en stor kvindelig rolle i begge ting. Og det var en stor succes blandt deltagerne. Og den følgende år i Berlin var der en meget interessant kongres, på grund af Hans-Peter Dürr, direktøren for Max Planck Institut for Fysik, og han argumenterede meget stærk for at være bæredygtig, ja, velvarende. En proces skal være cyklisk, fordi der kan ikke være
råstof
kilde. I den lange løb vil de være udtomt, og ikke nogen synke, fordi i den lange løb vil de være fuldt. Ellers kan en proces ikke være bæredygtig. Ja, bæredygtig. In English. Well, after the Pugwash conferences had won the Nobel Peace Prize and together with Joseph Rotblat in 1995, we had a lot of publicity in Denmark, and for the moment at least everyone knew who we were. So I felt that I ought to make use of the situation and apply for money to organize a Pugwash workshop. And the topic I thought first was the one which had made such a good impression in Beijing, the role of women in achieving a sustainable society. So I proposed that as a topic, and I went to see Elisabeth Müller Jensen, who was the leader of the Danish feminist movement, and who was actually a relative of my wife by marriage. And when I went to see her, I didn't expect really that very much would happen on my first visit, but she was so decisive and so efficient as an administrator that by the time I had left her office, everything was completely arranged for the workshop. She had even made reservations at a center for Nordic cooperation in Hellerup. So that really happened fast. Det skal prøve at sige den på dansk. I 1995, efter Pugwash havde delt Nobelfredsprisen med Sir Joseph Rotblat, Vi fik lidt opmærksomhed i pressen her i Danmark, og der i hvert fald havde vi for øjeblik den status, at alle kendte, hvem vi var. Og jeg følte mig, at vi burde bruge den situation til at prøve at organisere en pogrosh-workshop. Og den emne, jeg troede, ville være interessant for den emne, som jeg i min rapport i Beijing, rollen af kvinder i at opnå en bæredygtig samfund. Jeg gik til Elisabeth Møller Jensen, som var leder af Kvinfo, og som tilfældigvis var en slægtning min kone, og jeg tror ikke, at det ville ske ret mig, min første besøg med Elisabeth, men hun var så enormt beslutsom og effektivt som administrator, at inden jeg gik fra hendes kontor, var alle, det hele var totalt arrangeret for den workshop. Hun lavede til og med reservationer ved Center for Nordisk Samarbejde i Hellerup. Well, sadly, the Pugwash Council didn't allow me to organize a workshop on that topic which I'd chosen, and instead they insisted that the workshop should be on the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. And I had to go along with what they demanded. But I was still able to use the reservations that Elisabeth had made. And I was also able to obtain financial support for the workshop. Well, at that time, I didn't realize the full importance of climate change. But I must admit that one of the lectures at the workshop was alarming and thought-provoking. And it was by Professor John P. Holdren. And during his lecture, he showed us images of the degree of global warming that was predicted for the 21st century. But then, after the lecture was over, he was just answering questions. Then he showed us another slide with images of global warming during the 22nd century. And this last slide was completely shocking, because it predicted 3 or 4 times as much global warming in the 22nd century as in the 21st. For Sidin Podansk, desværre, den pogrosh organisation fik ikke lov for dem at lave en workshop på den emne, som jeg har valgt. Men i stedet for skulle workshoppen være på FN's konvention om klimaændring. Og jeg var tvunget til at gøre det efter deres anbefaling. Og alligevel, det lykkedes mig at få finansiel støtte til den workshop. På den tidspunkt, jeg var ikke opmærksom om klimaændringens store betydning. Men jeg må i hvert fald sige, at en af de forelæsninger, vi fik på workshoppen, var mig alarmerende og tankeopvækkende. Det var en forelæsning af professor John P. Holdren, som senere blev en af Obamas hovedvidenskabelige rådgiver. Og i hans forelæsning, han viste os en overhead, som viste opvarmning i den 21. århundrede i forskellige dele af verden. Men i den spørgsmålsperiode efter hans forelæsning, det var en spørgsmål om, hvordan det ville være i den 22. århundrede. Så viste han os en anden overhead med den 22. århundrede, og det var en total chok, fordi den viste, at opvarmning i den 22. århundrede ville være fire gang så stor som den var I den 21. århundrede. Well, I became aware gradually of the importance of climate change in the long run, perhaps not in the short run, but in the long run, it is potentially catastrophic. And I became aware of the fact that the feedback loops could be initiated by global warming. We're able potentially to initiate one of the great extinction events that history of life on Earth has witnessed. There have until now been 5 geological events during which almost all of life on Earth has disappeared. And one of these events, the most recent one, was the Permian extinction event a couple of 100 million years ago, which is thought to have been initiated by the melting of methane hydrate crystals on the ocean floors. And in fact, the methane hydrate crystals are there today, and melting of them has begun in the Arctic, but not other parts of the world. But the amount of methane hydrates is so enormous that this, too, is capable of initiating a sixth global extinction event produced by humans, by human activities. And in order for us to prevent that, we have to go over to renewable energy very quickly. And we have to, in fact, do it before global warming really becomes very severe. So this is a long-term problem because such an extinction event will be very slow in coming. So it's the long-term future we're talking about. But the action has to be taken right away, very soon, or we will reach a tipping point beyond which feedback loops will take over and we will be unable to prevent a disaster. So I began to write about this in the alternative media, and some of my articles were read by Tom Hartman, who has a very popular radio program and television program, and he directed me to his own work in this field. He and Leonardo DiCaprio, the actor, had combined to make several very powerful and clear videos, which you can find by typing Tom Hartman last hours into, for example, Google, into any search engine, and you will get to his videos, and very instructive to look at them, because this is a danger which, although it is a long-term danger, still it's one that we have a responsibility for preventing. We have a responsibility to the future, both to grandchildren and great-grandchildren and their great-grandchildren, but also to all of the animals and plants with which we share our world. Now I'll try to say the same thing in Danish. Jeg blev mere og mere opmærksom om de farer med klimaændring I den lange løb efter jeg har læst efter John Holdrens forelæsning og I nyere tid, og jeg begyndte at skrive på det I de alternative medier, og nogle af mine artikler var læst Tom Hartman, som var også bekymret om disse ting, og især om faren fra en kristallsk metan I forbindelse med vand. Disse kristaller ligger på havbunden I meget, meget store mængder. Og problemet at de allerede begyndt at smelte I den arktiske område. Og metan, som en meget, meget stærkt drivhusgas, tyvegang, så stærkt som kuldioxid, har begyndt at buble op, og den mængde disse krystaller i verdenshavbund er så enormt, at hvis alle verdens metankrystaller begyndte at smelte med opvarmning af oceaner, så ville det være en så stor en effekt, så det kunne blive til en stor menneskeskabt udrydningsevent, hvor næsten alle liv på jorden vil dø. For eksempel i den, som skete i Permian era, 97% af livet uddød. Og så kunne vi skabe sådan en event, fordi man tror faktisk, at smeltning af metankrystaller var årsagen til den Permian event. Og Tom Hartmann, som har en populær fjernsynsprogram og radioprogrammer, han kontaktede mig, og han har læst mine artikler, og han kaldte min opmærksomhed til den arbejde, som han havde gjort i samme område. Og man kan finde hans videoer, som er meget, meget klar og forholdsvis kort. Hvis man skriver Tom Hartmann, Tom Hartmann, last our sister, last LASTHOURS, sister, Tima, last hours i Google eller en søgemaskine, så kan man finde disse ting og anbefale mig stærkt, at man skal kigge på det.
Hermed slut på den fjerde del af Averys selvbiografi, hvor han fortæller om, hvordan han udviklede sin forståelse af miljø- og klimaudfordringerne og deres betydning.